or lease from...
The royalty of college football is in assembly.
Oh, my gracious, Tim. How about that?
We just stepped on their face with a hot-nailed vision across their nose.
Clenzo strikes with a minute and a half left.
And welcome to the College Football Country Podcast. My name is Josh Parcell. Thank you guys for listening. It's been a couple weeks. I know I had to take care of some other things going on in my life, but we're all good. We are back and better than ever, ready for a conference championship weekend in college football. Huge games, all five conferences, the Power Five conferences, playing this weekend, starting Friday night with Stanford and USC. This week, my guest is Chad Millman. He is the head of media at the Action Network. Now, if you haven't heard of the Action Network, that's okay. It's a brand new sports, gambling, gaming, daily fantasy-focused site that is only growing and is really in the beginning. Chad, former ESPN editor of the magazine, also worked as a sports gambling expert there for several years and is a very, very powerful person in the world of sports media. If you have not heard Chad or read Chad before, give this a shot. You're really, really going to like it. Chad has seen and heard and done a lot of great things in his career, and now he started the Action Network, which releases a newsletter every single day, Monday through Friday, giving all sorts of gambling tips and insight that you do not hear anywhere else. It's really unique, and I really, really like what he has done, and I love having Todd Furman on, and now Chad gives you a different voice as well. Two great guys in the world of sports gambling. So this week, it's Take the Points. We're going to talk gambling. We're going to pick all five conference championship games or give you some insight. I'll pick a few of those games. I'll also be having my picks up on cfbcountry.com on Friday with my official week 14 or 15, whatever week this is now, picks. We've had a great season, and we're going to continue to keep it rolling on Saturday. So thank you guys one more time for listening. But first, listen up, Hoops fans. Basketball season is back, and now that your favorite hardwood heroes have returned to action, it's time for you to put your fantasy knowledge to the test to win huge cash prizes every night playing one-day fantasy basketball at DraftKings.com. At DraftKings, there are so many ways to play. Choose from public contests with huge cash prizes or private contests where you can compete against your friends. They've even got beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of similar skill level. I love that. The best part, you get to draft a new team each day. And drafting a team is arguably the best part of fantasy. The only thing better? Winning cash while doing it. Just ask Dan from St. Louis or Jeremy from Austin. They both turned a $3 entry into $1,000. Huge cash prizes and bragging rights await only at DraftKings. Use the code CLNS, CLNS at DraftKings.com to play free with your first deposit for your share of $10,000 in total prizes tonight. Don't wait. Use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com now to choose your lineup, and you can seriously cash in tonight. That's code CLNS, only at DraftKings.com. The game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And now, welcome on, Chad Millman, head of media at the Action Network. Just an awesome endeavor that he's taken on since leaving ESPN. Something, if you're not subscribing to already, I get the newsletter every morning. It's fantastic. And he's doing a lot of great stuff. Chad, welcome in, man. And thanks for joining me. And kind of explain what you're doing over there at the Action Network for people who haven't seen it yet.
You bet, Josh. Thanks for having me on. So what we're trying to do is create a media company that is entirely dedicated to the content around sports betting. That's going to cover everything from what professional bettors are doing, what the public is doing, what the lifestyle of sports betting is like. We're adding DFS content in as well. We bought three companies, all under the Action Network umbrella, Fantasy Labs, which does lineup optimization for daily fantasy, and Sports Insights, which has deep research and tools for sports betting, and Sports Action, which is a bet tracking app that we've been developing. So, you know, we're pretty pumped about it. We're going to launch sort of an aggregated one-stop shopping Action Network platform sometime sooner rather than later. But right now, like you said, the best thing to do for people to do to check us out is go to actionnetwork.com and put your email address in the box and sign up for the newsletter, and you'll get it every day. And it's pretty good take on what we're trying to do in terms of informing and entertaining all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's super informative. And obviously, we talk just college football on this podcast. Where does college football kind of fall in the pecking order as far as how much interest there is from a betting perspective? Obviously, the NFL is king, but I'm curious where college football kind of falls after that.
It's, you know, obviously, it's incredibly high. It's probably number two after the NFL. The way Vegas, the way Nevada breaks down their numbers, they don't separate college football from the NFL. They don't separate college basketball from the NBA. Mm-hmm. Sort of they lump them all into one category in each individual sport category. But I saw a story this week. I forgot where it was. I think Joe Drape had a great story in the New York Times with Jimmy Vaccaro from the South Point, where Vaccaro said that this past weekend they had more handle on college football than the NFL. And so, you know, I think that's an indication of a lot of things. It could be an indication of dwindling interest in the NFL. It could be the slate of games that was happening. It could be the games that were happening in college football, which was a pretty great weekend. So it's certainly right up there.
Awesome. Well, this is a huge weekend for college football. And before we get to the conference championship games, which I want to get your take on the five major conferences, quickly, let's talk about the coaching carousel. And a lot of moves have gone on in the last week or so. It's still, everything's going to change. Probably by the time this podcast comes out, there's going to be three or four more changes. Who knows what's going to happen at Tennessee. But I do want to talk about Chip Kelly to UCLA. There was a very interesting article that was linked on your site that was a part of the newsletter earlier this week that I thought was interesting. And it talked about Chip Kelly's impact and what he did at Oregon. Now, he was 27-17 and 3 against the spread at Oregon, but the number that was even more interesting to me was the over-under. And we know the kind of offense that he brought to Oregon and what he thought he was bringing to the NFL and what UCLA hopes he's bringing down to Westwood. The over cashed in 70% of Oregon regular season games under Kelly. I mean, that's just an incredible impact for a coach. Do you expect to see something similar? How is Vegas going to respond, I guess, to UCLA immediately? What's the impact going to be for Kelly at UCLA?
Well, I think Vegas will definitely be inflating, and they try to score, you know, as often as they possibly can. They take risks on fourth downs. They go for 2 points after touchdowns. Sort of all the things that squeeze every little point out of every opportunity is what his offense is geared to do. And when he was at Oregon, you know, there was a stretch there where you couldn't make the totals high enough in college football. And it didn't matter how much a team was favored by. It seemed like the favorite was always covering, and he was at the epicenter of all of that. So because of his name brand, I would anticipate, even if he doesn't have the players that he thinks he needs to run the offense at UCLA, and I have no idea sort of if he thinks he does or not, there'll be an immediate impact from a bookmaker perspective on just inflating those numbers and totals, because fans, the bookmakers think fans will expect his games will have higher scoring totals.
I wonder if this is totally spitballing here, but I wonder if there's going to be an opportunity there maybe to catch some value on the other way, because he's not going to have the players he had at Oregon right out of the gate. If Vegas expects the public to maybe fall in love with Kelly and the offense and the over numbers, also, since Kelly's been gone, a lot of other programs have caught up to what Oregon was doing in terms of scheme. Maybe he doesn't have quite the advantage he had before. I wonder if maybe looking towards the under when he comes into UCLA might be something good. You expect him to come out of the gate with fireworks, and maybe it doesn't quite happen as quickly as some people might think.
Well, I think you're probably right, but I also think even if they do come out of the gate with some fireworks, the value is going to be on the other side, completely speculating, just because anytime a line is inflated, there's going to be value on the other side, because the bookmakers know they're going to be heavy on the side that's inflated. So because it's Chip Kelly, because of the scoring, they'll be pushing that number up, is my guess. And so the wise guys will automatically be looking for the opportunity in the unders in those UCLA games.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Was there any other hire that caught the eyes of Vegas, their attention maybe? It seemed like a particularly good hire, particularly bad hire. I mean, obviously there's no numbers out there as far as next season yet to talk about, but any coaches that maybe the public loves or vice versa that Vegas has a different eye on than maybe what the media is covering right now?
No, not really. I mean, you talk about Dan Mullen to Florida, or like Herm Edwards to Arizona State. Like, those are all interesting hires, but there are very few coaches that can come in and impact the point spread. You know, at the NFL level, wise guys used to always tell me that there were two guys who could do it, North Turner in a negative way and Bill Belichick in a positive way. At the college level, you're not talking about that many guys who because of their name brand, are going to push a line. Chip Kelly is one of them. You know, Nick Saban is obviously one of them. But not even Gus Malzahn or Kevin Sumlin or even Jimbo Fisher is going to be someone who, because they go to a program, is going to change the way the bookmakers are power rating these teams.
Very interesting. Like I said, a few more hires to be made. We'll see what happens in those next few. Chad, let's talk about the games here. Let's run through them.
Conference
weekend, five games. Friday night, we got Stanford and USC. Now, that game, it's a rematch of a game earlier this season where USC won by 18. That line right now is the Trojans by about four, 3.5 or 4, depending on where you look. It opened a little bit shorter, so it seems like people favoring the Trojans. What do you see? What does Vegas see in this game?
Well, it's an interesting game, right? Because Stanford has been coming on stronger, and I don't think anyone was sort of thinking that this was necessarily going to be the team that was playing in the Pac-12 conference game, title game. UCLA, certainly everyone thought would be there. And what's more interesting is, you know, I mean, not UCLA, USC. What's more interesting is, you know, people probably thought USC was going to be doing it to get into the playoffs. And so now we're talking about the one conference title game from the Power Five that has zero impact on what's happening in the conference championship, or in the national championship. So it changes a little bit of the scope of the stakes. And so you've got two teams that are sort of one just outside the top 10 and one who's ranked number 10. The line opened at 3. It's been pushed up to 4. About 65% of the public action is coming in on USC. What that basically means is that the wise guys haven't really weighed in. And the bookmakers have been adjusting. They moved off a key number because they've been getting so much action on USC in a lopsided way that they're looking for wise guys to come in and play Stanford so they can balance their books a little bit.
USC was a team that everybody loved, like you said, at the beginning of the season as a national championship contender. I never really fell in love with them. After they lost to Washington State, and especially after they lost to Notre Dame, they really kind of fell out of the eye of the public. But over the last month, they've played well. And they blew out Arizona State. They had a nice win against a hot Arizona team, and then they handled Colorado. UCLA's a rivalry game. It was close, but they won the game. I mean, four straight wins. They're playing better football than they were in October, which is the last time I think people really watched USC.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I think a lot of people think that now, and that's why you're seeing all the money and all the public money come in on the Trojans, because there is no surprise there. They're a team that didn't live up to expectations early in the year, but all of a sudden, Sam Darnold, he's all of a sudden starting, there's talk about him. You know, for a second, there was a conversation, is he even going to go to the NFL draft?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's changed a little bit. And I think the public is sort of caught up to the fact that they're playing back up to expectations.
Yeah, I think I'm going to side with Stanford on this game. I don't love the feel on either side. I think this ends up being a close game. I think the line feels about right. Let's move on, though. Let's talk how about Big 12. Big 12, Oklahoma, TCU,
sure.
Another rematch. Sooners beat TCU 38-20 earlier this year. This was a game where Oklahoma really handled it by an even bigger margin than the score. They were up 38-14 at halftime. And you look at that line right now, and Oklahoma favored in the game by around a touchdown. No, I saw, and you'll know more than I do, but I believe I saw where a lot of action is coming in on the Sooners, and the line isn't moving. So that seems to me like Vegas knows something here, that maybe TCU has a chance.
I don't think it's about TCU having a chance. It's about, you're right, though, that the line is a touchdown. It's a key number.
Yeah.
Bookmakers are always hesitant to move off of a key number. In this case, what's interesting is that you're right, 89% of the money is coming in on Oklahoma right now. But I think that bookmakers are still too wary of moving off that key number. And they're happy to sort of let the sharps play the plus 7 if that's what they decide they want to do, because they don't want to get off that key number. So I think that's what's going on, more than sort of the bookmakers having a strong feeling about TCU at this point.
That makes sense. Well, how does Vegas view Oklahoma's offense? What's the value? I mean, they have to have the best offense in the country at this point. The total in this game, I'm pulling it up right here. I can't see the number. 63.5?
63.5, yep.
63.5. So that's come up from 61.5. Do you expect, do you have a feel on either side of that as far as the total is concerned?
I don't. I think it's probably leveled off. Hold on, I'm just going to check one more thing here and see where that number has moved from. Give me one second here. So that opened at 62.5. It's gone up a little bit. 78% of the money is coming in on the over. Obviously, that's a lot of public money, and sort of that matches what you're seeing with all the public money coming in on Oklahoma. So far, the Wise guys have not had a tremendous impact on this game, nor have they played it aggressively. This is a one-sided public matchup in both sides of the opportunity there for pregame betting.
Hey guys, quick break from Chad to talk about my bookie. Holiday cash, you need it, and I know where to get it. My bookie is the place to score serious cash on your sports predictions. Believe it or not, the holidays are just around the corner, and while that means plenty of parties, gifts, and spending, it also means there's lots of football, basketball, and hockey games you can score big on every day. Man up and play like the pros on game day. You can play the money line, side, or total. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs and offers super fast payouts when you win. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the games, you got to go to MyBookie.ag. They're the only site I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They have odds on every matchup and a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone a breeze. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use the promo code COLLEGE50 to activate the offer. COLLEGE50. Visit MyBookie.ag today. Use that promo code. You play, you win, you get paid. And now, back to Chad. It's funny, it's of all the conference games, this seems like one of the ones that people are just kind of assuming Oklahoma wins the most of any of the conference championship games. And TCU, they played really great on paper. I want to know what you think about TCU's, I guess, ranking overall. Where would you rank TCU? Where would Vegas rank TCU? Let's say they win this game. They're not going to make the playoff. Nobody is mentioning TCU as a team that would make the playoff if they get in. It's if Oklahoma loses, it's maybe Alabama gets that number five or moves up into the top four. To me, TCU on paper would have a hell of a resume if they knocked off Oklahoma. They would have just one team on their schedule who they didn't beat, and that would be Iowa State. And they would have several ranked wins. I feel like TCU is one of the six or seven best teams in the country going into this week. And if you add that win over Oklahoma, it's hard to argue they're not one of the best four.
Yeah, but they're still not going to make it.
I'm just curious how because Vegas, you know, normally sees things a little differently than maybe the writers or the coaches poll or the committee would.
Yeah, but they'd still be a heavy, heavy underdog to a team like Alabama, yeah, and to Clemson and to Miami and any
really?
Other team.
They'd be underdogs to Miami.
I think so, because the public perception for Miami right now is such that, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, I'm not looking at power ratings right now, yeah, but certainly for teams like Alabama and Clemson and Georgia and Auburn, they'd be heavy underdogs because A, those are better teams, but B, the public perception is that those are better teams. And so, you know, Vegas isn't necessarily just rating it based on the quality of the performance on the field. They're basing it on where they think the money's going to come, and there's not going to be a ton of public support for TCU.
That makes sense, but it'd be absolutely brutal if TCU wins the Big 12 again and gets left out just like it happened a couple of years ago. Good, Kerry Bradderson running a good program, but don't lose to Iowa State. You don't have to have this problem.
Yeah, right.
All right, so a couple more. Let's talk Big Ten, Ohio State, Wisconsin. This is the one that obviously kind of holds the keys to really everything that we're going to talk about this weekend in terms of playoff. If Wisconsin wins, they're in. If Ohio State wins, we'll see. They're going to be battling that resume against Alabama. The line in this game, around a touchdown, 6.5, I believe. Where is that number right now? Where did it open and where is it now? And why should people not bet Ohio State? Because it seems like everybody thinks the Buckeyes are going to cover this number and win.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because I think the Wise guy certainly believes that Ohio State is going to cover this number. The game opened at 6. It's now 6.5 and 7 in some places. The public, you know, in a rare showing, is all in on the underdog in this game. About 70% of the tickets are coming in on Wisconsin, and that's because they see an undefeated team that is highly ranked, that is an underdog. And so they're not sort of looking any deeper into, well, who's got the better lineup, who's more talented. They're only thinking at sort of the superficial numbers. So the money's coming in on them. And this is one where the Wise guys have actively come in when the numbers hit 7. They've come back and bet it down. It's now at 6.5. And that's just because they're seeing what the bookmakers are seeing, which is sort of a more talented team. But this is this is where it's all happening. Like, this has the most tickets, the most action. This is the one that everyone's sort of going to be watching from a betting perspective, as well as you said, the impact it's going to have on the playoff.
So Ohio State, the monkey on their back is the Iowa loss. That's the scar on their resume. They can't get over it. Even the day after they lost that Iowa game, you look at all sorts of computer models and power ratings. Ohio State was still number two, some places as low as number three, but that was it. I mean, you still saw this team. Most places saw this team as a top two or three team. How did Vegas account for that? That big of an anomaly of a performance. I mean, it's got to scare you a little bit. I mean, you know that Ohio State has the capability of playing like a top four team, but then it also has that Iowa game in its, you know, in its arsenal, I guess. You could see that happen again. So how did you guys view that Iowa game? And clearly you're not taking it into account now, knowing that line is up at 6.5 or 7.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's almost like when you're releasing rankings for a college football playoffs. It's you lose earlier in the year and it has less of an impact than if you lose later in the year. And that's entirely about public perception. If Ohio State had lost to Iowa a week ago and was still playing in the Big Ten title game, the number would probably be smaller because sure, that's what the public would be remembering. But no one's thinking about that Iowa game from earlier this fall. They're thinking about Ohio State just beat Michigan. And despite Michigan not being very good, people still think it's Jim Harbaugh and it's Michigan. So they get credit for that win in the eyes of the public. And that's why, along with the power rating and sort of the actual math that everybody's doing, that's why that number lands where it does.
Well, and you saw that public perception affect that line the week after the Iowa game. They were 17.5-point favorites against Michigan State. They won by 45. So
yeah,
that's exactly where you see that come into play. So Ohio State clearly, yeah, I think, should be the favorite in this game and should be favored around a touchdown. Actually, I like Ohio State in that game. I think they win it pretty easily. They haven't lost to Wisconsin, I believe, since 2010. So they have owned that rivalry, and I think that they have much better athletes in that game. I don't think I don't know that game comes within a touchdown. Two more. Let's do ACC first. I'll be there on Saturday night in Charlotte. Clemson and Miami. Now, Miami finally exposed a week ago, losing that game to Pittsburgh 24-14. The Tigers playing great football right now. If you take out, I've said this all year, if you take out that Syracuse game where Kelly Bryant was banged up, was not himself, in games where they've had a healthy Kelly Bryant, Clemson has played like the number one team in the country all season long. Miami coming into this game away from home, their average margin of victory is just 6 points, plus six in score differential. At home, they're plus 18, so not the same team away from my injuries. Where do you see this game where the line falls right now? Ultimately, where do you think this line closes, and what side do you think is the better side here?
I could easily see this line closing at 10. Yeah. It's already at 9.5. It opened at 5.
Right.
It got so much action that it steamed through 6. It steamed through 7. It settled in at 9.5. You know, I think at some point the line will move to 10, and that's when you'll start to see the wise guy money come in on Miami.
Sure.
You're not wrong about Clemson. They're probably the best team in the country right now, the most well-rounded team in the country. And Miami has been one of those teams that has been winning, but seems to win with big plays, not consistent play. And I think that's something that you really got to think about when you're looking at what this game shapes up to be, which is why you've seen so much money come in on Clemson. This is as one-sided a game as there's going to be. From a betting perspective, this is where it's where sort of the public is most excited about a team other than Oklahoma. This Clemson team has people jazzed.
Yeah, and you talked about Miami needing chunk plays, big explosive plays. Not only that, but the turnovers. I mean, we've made a lot about the turnover chain, which pisses me off to no end, but that's okay. But regardless, Miami has made a living off of turning the other guy over. And last week they were just plus one against Pittsburgh and they lost. But in so many games this season, they've been plus three, sometimes even plus four in the turnover category. And winning by these pretty narrow margins, that obviously catches up to them at some point. So, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons, in my mind at least, why Miami has obviously continued to win. You said that they would probably be favored against TCU. I know you don't have the ratings in front of you, but does Vegas really think this team, even if they beat Clemson, would Vegas agree with Miami making it into the playoff?
It's a good question.
Because I don't think they would. Even with the win over Clemson, I know they're going to get there, but in my mind, they haven't done enough. Even with the win over Clemson, it would be close, but to me, all of those close games over and over again against Syracuse, Georgia Tech, Florida State, losing to Pittsburgh, which would be the worst loss outside of maybe the Ohio State 30-point blowout, but I think losing to Pitt is almost as bad. Miami just would have a ton of games that don't impress you whatsoever other than the fact that they just got the win.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, Alabama is always going to be the wild card in any of these things. So if Miami beats Clemson, does Miami leapfrog Alabama? Does the playoff committee think that Miami would be a better entrant into the playoffs than Clemson would be? I don't actually – than Alabama would be? I don't know that I could say that.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Vegas doesn't care who wins its conference. I mean, they don't have this. The committee has to decide. All right, who won your conference championship head to head? They take in all these factors, which is fine. Like, I understand that, but it's just funny. Vegas, they see these teams as numbers on a data point, basically. And you're saying, all right, well, is this team better than this team? It doesn't matter what you did in your arbitrary conference. To me, I think Alabama would. I would think Alabama is going to be favored against Miami on a neutral field. I don't think there's any question about that, if you ask me. Even if Miami beat Clemson.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Well, let's talk about the SEC, the one game that Alabama's not playing in, Auburn and Georgia. So Auburn, red hot. They blew out Georgia. Everybody seems like to think they want Auburn to do that again. They seem to think Auburn's going to do that again. Does Georgia have a chance in this game?
I think so. The wise guys think so. I mean, when this game opened at 3, the wise guys all quickly bet the +3 just because there's value on that number. But it's settled at 2.5. I think you're going to see the public come in on Auburn because their defense is so good, because of what they did to Alabama, because of what they did to Georgia. So certainly they have a chance, but there are certain advantages that Georgia has. You know, they have a huge advantage on kickoff returns, while Auburn is terrible at that. You know, the Tigers' defense is 74th overall inside the 20. Georgia has the best red zone scoring offense. So certainly there are some metrics that point to Georgia having some advantages, and I guess that's probably why the wise guys took the +3. But this is one of those games where it feels a little bit like it's a toss-up, which is why the number is where it is.
And in a toss-up, I would like to side with the underdog. I'd like to get the points. And this was a really perfect storm for Auburn a couple weeks ago when they played Georgia. This was Georgia's first real major test as the number one team. It's a lot different when it's September and you're in South Bend, but you're ranked number 15. Nobody really has a ton of expectations placed on your shoulders. You can go in and win that game. That's fine. But now all of a sudden you got a freshman quarterback going on the road as the number one team. It was just a lot of pressure on Georgia. Not to mention the fact that the Bulldogs, in the back of their head, and I believe this absolutely plays a role in these games, Georgia knew that if they lost the game, they could still win out and make the playoff. And that's exactly what's happened. Now you've got the desperation. You can't fake desperation, and Georgia has it. I think it's a totally different Bulldog team. And you talked about a lot of the numbers. I mean, Georgia on paper has a lot of advantages against Auburn. While Auburn's still going to put up a great fight, I do think that Georgia actually wins this game. The total is pretty low. I mean, Auburn put up 40 points by themselves. This total right now is around 47.5. Do you see this game being a lot lower scoring? I mean, I don't think we're going to see Auburn put up 40 again, but is this going to be a grinded out old school SEC game or a shootout?
I think it's going to be a grinded out old school game. You know, there's going to be a lot of tension. Like you said, they're playing with a lot more desperation. Auburn in that game against Georgia had nothing to lose. Georgia had nothing to gain. Right. So everyone's playing a little bit looser and a little bit more fearless, where, you know, this time it's the opposite of that for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's going to play the role, and I think Georgia gets the win. I do think the Bulldogs avenge the loss. So, all right, Chad. Well, I'll let you go, man. Thank you for joining me. And one more time, plug the site. Let everybody know where they can find you.
Go to actionnetwork.com. Go in, sign up for our newsletter. You'll get it every day, Monday to Friday. It's infotainment packed.
I love it, man. I cannot recommend it enough. Thank you for doing that, because it really helps me out. And I hope everybody else listening goes and subscribes. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you.
All right. Thank you to Chad Millman for joining me. Hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of the podcast. Don't forget to check out the website tomorrow. We've been off for a couple of weeks. We've had a lot of stuff going on. I apologize for not being active on the blog, on the podcast. couple things going on, but we have got you covered for this weekend in conference championship game. So come on Friday, check out the picks. Hope you guys enjoyed Chad. A lot of good information there. And one more time, check out the Action Network. He is doing a really, really good job. And I wouldn't plug anybody, but I do really want you guys to check out Chad, especially if you like these episodes on Fridays, the gambling episodes, because he's got everything, not just college football, NFL, NBA, daily fantasy, college hoops, hockey. I mean, literally everything there. And it's all sorts of information that you just don't hear other places. The types of content that they're putting out is way different than what you would get on ESPN or Fox or anywhere online. It's really, really good. And I hope that thing continues to grow, because I do think that the future of college sports, the future of all sports in terms of fan interest, is only going to grow when gambling starts to become more mainstream, as it already has and will only continue to grow in the future. So great job by Chad. And I will see you guys next week for the next edition of the College Football Country Podcast. We'll break down all of the playoff selections, the top four, and we'll start to look at all the bowl matchups as well. And we'll have College Football Country Podcast coming your way all throughout the holidays, so be prepared for that. Hope you guys are downloading. Hope you guys are subscribing. Telling your friends about it. Share it online as well. If you guys have any friends who you know who love college football, rate and review the podcast as well. 5 stars, and leave a review as well. Thank you guys so much. I will talk to you guys next week on the College Football Country Podcast.